I'll just embrace my idiotness.
No, because this is a math one. So we are going to
I
work
suck
through it
at math.
together. I know,
That's
I know.
the
Me too. I also suck at math. I'm an Asian who's bad at math. Oh, the shame, the horror. We're just going to have to figure it out together. Naylor Beauty School was just the beginning, right? What on earth do you do now? Welcome to the Salon Success Podcast with Monaco Nail Academy. Our topics stretch beyond nails and into all things salon related, business, marketing, and social media. And at very least, hits you with real, honest stories about our experiences. This isn't school. This is real life, real business, and really freaking hard work. Before we get started, wherever you are, thumbs up, tag a friend in the comments, or hit that share button and support small business. Hey guys, it's Pat here from Monaco Nail Academy slash Pat Sedative Beauty, and today I'm joined by Leonie.
Leonie, yeah, now Alchemy by Leonie.
And I'm here too, Mel from Jungle Nails.
Yay, we've got some cool people on the call, and we are going to be talking about reverse engineering your goals, which sounds terrifying, and we're going to be doing math, but we can do this together. Just a reminder before we get started, does anyone want to share their code?
Oh, yes. So my code for 10% off courses at Monaco is simply Leonie. That's my code.
Leonie, not simply Leonie, in case anyone types
That
that. Minus
Hashtag
passive.
Leonie.
And Mel's is Jungle Nails. Again, it's all 10% off. You can pick any of them. And whoever you pick, they get a kickback from the enrollments. And that's how we support the production of this podcast. Okay, before we get stuck into the new topic, let's revisit last week's lesson, Leonie. What were we talking about last week?
So we're talking about pros and cons of working from home-based salons.
Amazing. Yeah, you're totally right.
Hello, Pat.
Is there anything else you wanted to add? Like, did you want to add a summary?
Actually, do you know what? Something else, just thinking about home-based salons and linking that to Monaco specifically. So, Monaco, I've just found it such a tremendous community to connect with other nail technicians and to make me understand and embrace that other nail techs are not my competition. They are my peers and my friends and my support groups. And I think that's really, really important when you are working home based because you don't have other people, say, in a salon environment that you can bounce ideas off or little troubleshooting things or issues that can pop up from time to time. So if you have any affiliation with Monaco, even jumping onto like a small course, a short course, something to tie you in to that community. You get so much more just in support and friendship, and it's just a great community to be a part of. And more importantly, I think if you are home based.
I am so glad that this is recorded, Leonie, because that's such an amazing testimonial for Monaco. Folks, we didn't pay her for that. She just said that off the top of her head.
So
It's
true.
true. It is true. I
It
agree.
is, yeah.
We love that. Oh my gosh. Okay. Glowing review from Leonie. We love, we love. Alrighty. So from last week's topic, which was home salons location, we are going to be talking about reverse engineering your goals. So one thing that we talk about in salon success is making a marketing plan. But for us to use a marketing plan to achieve our big goals, we actually need to define them a little bit by reverse engineering some goals that are specifically related to marketing. These will be a way for us to measure whether your marketing is successful. And if it's not, then we adjust it. So, what is reverse engineering? Well, it's the process of taking your end goal and working backwards away from it in order to carve a path that will allow you to get there. It's flying to Oz and building a yellow brick road all the way back to Munchkinland so that the next time you need to see the wizard, you can just follow the yellow brick road instead of hacking through the bush like Bear Grylls. Don't worry, I am going to explain it step by step. Okay, so
Maths is terrifying.
math is terrifying, but we are going to make it work. You know, maybe we make up the numbers a little bit or just know from the top of our heads roughly what our leads are, and then take the numbers from there. If you are now scratching your head, like, huh, what is a lead? A lead is an expression of interest in the services you offer. It could be a Facebook comment, a private message, a text, a phone call, or an email. It generally includes a question. It's not a comment on a photo of your work saying, I like red. Okay, that's not interest in your work. That's interest in the color red. An expression of interest is more like, how much would this be? Or what are your hours? Or can you send me your price list? Which, to be honest, I get lots of those and then I just leave it on red because I have issues. I really need to reply to my leads. So even if you're doing a practice model, if your practice model says something like, how much would this normally be during a free appointment? That is a lead. So you've definitely been getting them even if you're new. And if you haven't been recording them, please do start recording them now. This is something that Penny does literally every single working day. She records and checks her leads and conversions. She stresses that she cannot stress enough how important tracking your leads is going to become. Okay, Leonie, do you track your leads?
I really don't. Some of it is because I still struggle with the online stuff, the social media stuff, the Google thing, like it sends me through a synopsis of how many views or what engagement or whatever you've had, but that's still well beyond where my brain is at for that sort of engagement.
I think with leads, we can even track it on pen and paper if we want. Like, it doesn't have to be super fancy schmancy. So if someone DMs you and they're like, oh, how much is that? Then that's like one lead, and you can write that down, and you can write down where it's from and what day. And then if you can track what happens to the lead, so if they said, how much is this? And you replied to them, and then they booked in with you. That's like a converted lead. And what about you, Mel? Do you track your leads?
I did when I first started, and it was actually really, really good. So yeah, if somebody messaged me on Instagram, I would write their name, what they asked, the day, and where it was, like Instagram. So then after a while, and then obviously when they book in, I would turn it green. I just had a spreadsheet on my computer, so I didn't know how to set up like the whole
I love
percentage
a good
sort of
spreadsheet.
thing, but yeah, it made it really easy to look back and go, oh, that person never booked in, and then you can always reconnect with them in some way, like if they asked like if you had vouchers, or you can then send them a text like Mother's Day's coming up, like yes, you can get a voucher for your mum or whatever. But then also it gives you an idea of where like your leads are coming from. So
Yeah,
if
that
you're
makes
advertising
sense.
in the newspaper and none of your leads on your spreadsheet say newspaper, then you're wasting your money. Like,
That's such a good point. Or like if you notice all of your leads are coming from Instagram, but you only post on Facebook, then it's like, ooh, why am I even on Facebook? Or vice versa, right?
you can sort of direct your efforts a bit more, I guess.
Yeah, okay, note to self, start tracking leads again.
And I don't do it because I just got lazy, but it was definitely helpful at the start.
Amazing. Okay, so talking about leads. So some leads die straight away. We've all had or will have people who call up and ask how much a service is, only to immediately hang up without so much as a thank you when they hear the answer. Although it would appear that they are never ever going to book with you, this lead is still important. It's important first because it's no mean feat to get someone interested enough to actually contact you one-on-one, and you should be proud of that. So even if someone only messages you on Instagram, you send them your prices and they just look at it and then never reply, they still messaged you. It's so easy to just keep scrolling on social in this day of social media, right? And it's also important, second, because without these people who try and contact us, we don't have a conversion rate. And your conversion rate is quite possibly the single most important thing that you can know about your business. This isn't Pat speaking, that is Penny saying that the conversion rate is the most important thing. So, okay, Penny, I'm gonna start tracking my leads. Thanks. And I can see that Leonie's taking notes as well. She's like,
I
oh, what
am.
have I done with this?
I'm like, yes, I should probably do that too.
Okay,
Yeah, good. It's so helpful. And
maybe we
even
must
like,
do a thing. Oh, sorry, Mel.
you're right. Do it. It is really helpful. And even like you said, that lead that just dies, to you it might be like they're done, but then one of their friends might visit and go, oh, I've been wanting to get my nails done. And they'll go, oh, actually, I messaged Pat. Here's her price list. You know, like they can all spread the wings, and it can lead from this one lead can lead to multiple different
I guess that how I think
people start
about
talking and
leads.
go, oh, Leonie showed me your price list. And then you can connect the two, you know?
Yeah, my old-fashioned sort of idea is business cards, right? It's like giving out business cards, but it's often these days online.
But giving out your business card to people can also be a lead if they ask for it, right? So if they're like, oh, tell me more, and you hand them your business card, that's still a lead because they
Can I try
wanted to
to
know
make
more.
everybody leave with a business card? I guess that
Yeah.
is my lead. I try and push them out because I'm predominantly word of mouth or connected people. So I'm like, yes, have a business card, give it to your friend, you know?
And I guess
Or
on that
they just
note,
leave it, you know, like it's same as me when I was giving my clients lollies with a business card attached. They might not eat the lollies, but they'll leave them in their car, and then they'll pick up their cousin who's like, oh, lollies, and then they see, oh, nails, what, who's this? Da, 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 da. You know, like it's all about.
Yeah, and
good.
then
That's
when you comes
leading
from
by
lead,
stealth.
yeah.
the leads come back. And then what ends up happening, right, is when you do get someone booking, you can ask them, how did you hear about me? And if they tell you, oh, I saw your business card, boom, you write that down that, like, oh, the business card I handed out to someone, that was a converted lead. And then you can see how effective the business cards are as well. Because it's so easy to be like, I'm sure this is working, or I'm sure this isn't working, but the numbers will tell you if it is or isn't. So that's
Well, you
great.
make me think already, although I haven't recorded it. Yes, I have had some that are like where I have donated product for like a local raffle or something like that and included a voucher. And then so that person has come to me. I never had considered that actually a lead before, but it is.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my gosh, that's such a good point too. Like even doing things like raffles and prizes and contests and stuff could also be leads. Okay. So we talked about tracking your conversion rates. So if we want to know what a conversion is, well, a conversion is when someone who was a lead becomes a customer. So they actually spend money with you. So Leonie, when you handed out your business cards, when someone came back and then they spent money with you, they turned into a conversion.
Right.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
Yeah.
And
And I can see that now. I'd never thought about it, but I can see that.
now we know we are growing. Now that we both know what leads and conversions are, we'd now get a conversion rate. Okay, this is where we're going to go into the math. A conversion rate is the percentage of leads that convert into customers. Average conversion rates vary between industries, but between 2 to 8% is totally normal. Do you notice that that is a very small number? So that needs to be reassuring for us. So if you have a conversion rate of 2%, then that means that 2% or two. Only 2 out of every 100 people, or 1 out of every 50 people who contact you actually book. Obviously, we want more than that. And the goal is to have as high a conversion rate as possible. But, just understand that if your rate is quite low, it's actually quite normal. So don't feel so bad about yourself. Okay. So if we start tracking this and we go, oh, actually, this isn't really going well. That's fine. Now we can think about how are we going to start trying to raise this up? Okay. Now we get to do the reverse engineering thing. We haven't been tracking our leads and conversions, so this is going to be hard to do, but we will give it our best go. So we are just going to make up some numbers. My favorite thing, making up numbers. This is why I can't do accounting as a job.
Well, that's something when you're talking about the conversion rate. So if I straight away think about that as a business card thing. So say for every 500 business cards I put out there, is that that's like 10 people I might convert.
Yeah, totally, exactly like that. When we are doing the reverse engineering, we're going to need some numbers, but because we don't know our conversion rate, we can just slot in 2% or 8% because that's the common one. Before we continue on with the podcast and really get into the numbers, we just want to take a quick ad break to talk about how to set your prices. This is a Salon Success module, and this course has hours of content, pre-programmed calculators, videos, worksheets, and resources to get you up to speed on literally everything you need to know to take your next step with the right foot, whether you've yet to start your training or you've been in business for years, because it's so important that we actually know how to set our prices and don't undercharge. Cool. And our codes, once again, Leonie.
Is Leonie
Mel.
for 10% off? Leonie.
Mine is Jungle Nails.
Mine's Patsative. So again, if you want 10% off, use any of those codes. And Salon Success is a series of flexible, self-guided online workshops that cover every aspect of running a business. And we want to make sure that you know how to get clients to happily pay what you're worth. So please sign up for How to Set Your Prices.
Hey guys, Penny from the future here, butting in to what the girls did an amazing job on this episode without me. However, what you're about to hear is them going through maths. Now, it is worth listening to because you can hear in real time how they work out the maths, what their opinions are on the results of the maths. But at the end of the day, it's still maths on a podcast. Hear me out. This podcast episode is based on one of the lessons in our Salon Success course, and it is actually a free lesson. So it's set as a preview, and you can view it without having bought the course. In the lesson are visuals that help this maths, lots of visuals. So I'm going to link to that free lesson in the show notes on the podcast full episode and on the YouTube version when we put this up on YouTube. So I'm going to put that link to that lesson. I definitely think you should listen to what the girls are working out now, but then go and have a look at that lesson. It's totally free for you, and then you can do the maths for yourself as well.
Okay, we are back. This is scary. Do I have Excel on this computer? That's what I want to know. Would you feel comfortable reverse engineering your goals with us, Leonie?
I'll just make it up as I go along.
Amazing. Do you want me to do the numbers for you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
What you'll need is your average spend.
Average spend per client, or
Yeah, per client.
it's
Roughly
going
how
to be like
much?
what you want to make. Say you want to make 100 grand,
Yeah.
then you need to divide it by your average spend, which tells you how many clients you need, and then that'll tell you how many leads you need to get that many clients.
Oh yeah, so my average spend, so my people generally, it's a $60 service.
Okay. And then,
$60.
so
So
what would you want to make? Even if you just make it up and say 80 grand or 100 grand,
yeah.
whatever, 20 grand, 30
I'll
grand.
say 100 grand is always that magic figure, isn't it?
Okay, we'll put that down. 100,000. Okay, so 100,000, and your average spend is 60. And how many, on average, how many visits do your people do?
Well, they're usually on a 4 week cycle.
4 week cycle. Okay, so 52 divided by 4, 13. So they do 13 visits a year if it's every week, every 4 weeks. Okay. And then, so based on that, do you know what your conversion rate is?
Probably a zero.
It's clearly not zero, because if it were zero, you wouldn't have any
Yeah,
customers.
just
Oh,
do
but
like two. That'll be easy.
we'll do two.
Wait,
Okay, we'll
we'll
do
go with
2%.
2%.
Okay, we'll go with the lowest one. So the first box is revenue, how much you want to make. And Leonie wants to make $100,000. So we're going to stick with that. Then we've got average spend per appointment. And we've got $60 because that's what they usually spend. And the next box is average number of times a customer comes to you per year.
If your customer comes fortnightly, it's 26 times. If it's 3 weekly, it's 17 times. Monthly is 12. Because it's 4 weekly for Leonie, we have it as 13 times per year. Okay, so I've put that in the box. With all that info in place, we can work out the number of clients needed per year. That is not appointments, but individual human beings. And the easiest way to do this is revenue divided by average spend divided by average visit. 100,000 divided by $60 divided by average visit of 13, which is, according to Excel, 128.2 people. The 128 is the total of number of people who you want to be regularly seeing you per year. Okay, so if you have 128 people, I guess that's kind of like every 4 weeks you see 128 people. That will get you to the 100,000 if people spend on average 60.
Penny here again. You're going to hear me pop up a couple of times. So Pat's doing a great job of explaining the maths here, and there's one little bit that gets missed out and it's sort of discussed later. But so yes, exactly what they've said. Leonie wants to earn $100,000 a year, and she has clients that spend $60 each time they come. So if you work out $100,000 divided by $60, you come up with the number of appointments, total appointments that you need every single year to meet that income. Because each person that comes to Leonie comes on average 13 times per year, she doesn't need that giant number of clients. She can divide it by 13 and find out how many regular clients she needs to hit that target. And that's where they get the 128. That's all fun, great, love that. The one little bit that I wanted to add is that 128, like Pat said, is 128 clients every 4 weeks because all of Leonie's clients return every 4 weeks. So she needs the same 128 people to come back every 4 weeks, then 4 weeks later, then 4 weeks later. What that means is 128 divided by 4 weeks is 32 clients a week. And that's the one piece of information missing from this explanation is Leonie needs 32 clients per week to hit $100,000 a year.
If you want this number to go down, like the customers, either you reduce the revenue you're after. Like, for example, if you were like, actually, I only want to make 80 grand, then you only need 100 customers. It's 128 if it is 100,000. On the other hand, if your customers start paying more because they start getting nail art, like if you upsell everyone and they all get nail art or they all get gel X and it's $80 average spend, then you only need 96 customers every 4 weeks to be to hit that 100,000 mark. So it's based on your, target revenue, the average spend and your average visit. Or if people come to you fortnightly and they spend $60 each time and you want to hit 100,000, so that would be 26 visits per year, then you only need 64 clients. Oh no, that would be fortnightly.
Oh, yeah.
Penny here again to elaborate. So, when you first start using the reverse engineering method of working out how many clients you need to hit your goals, the numbers can be a little bit scary. But that doesn't mean that they are stuck in stone because these numbers, like Leonie needing 128 clients, that's based on how often her clients currently come and how much she currently charges. Like Pat said, if she increases the amount she's getting on average from each client, she doesn't need as many clients to hit the same goal. So if Leonie looks at this and goes, "Holy crap, how am I supposed to do that?" She can either increase her price, increase the amount that people are paying her, and that can be, instead of a price increase, just like Pat was saying, upselling. Getting different things added onto the service and going for, say, an average of 65, or she can increase the frequency at which clients come. So 4 weeks is actually pretty long for a regular nail client. Mine are all on average 3 weeks, but a lot of them are two. Some are four. Some are more special occasion clients. But if Leonie were, when she rebooks each person, to suggest 3.5 weeks for those that honestly could probably do with 3.5 weeks, they might come with lifting, breaks, that sort of thing. Get them back sooner. They will then be there 14 times in a year. And again, that's less clients that you need. Because a client that already exists is now giving you 14 lots of $60 instead of 13 lots of $60.
We need to use the conversion rate to help us understand how do we actually hit the number of 128. So if our conversion rate is 2, the number we're going to use is 50, because it's 1 in 50 leads will become a customer. Do you remember that math that we did earlier? Okay, so what that means is if only 1 out of every 50 will become our client, then I think that means that we have to go 50 times 128. Oh my goodness. So that means it's 128 times 50. So we need 6,410 leads. And we did it. We figured out how many leads we need. So that sounds wild, that 6,410. But these leads could be from your business cards. It could be from your from the word of mouth, from people just asking you from nowhere. It could be people on Instagram. It could be from raffles that you do. So there are so many ways you could be getting leads. But even if we just do things like change our conversion rate, like let's say your conversion rate became 3, then all of a sudden the number of leads you need goes down from 6,000 all the way to 4,000. Mm-hmm. So just trying to focus on the quality of leads that you get really helps that. Or let's say your conversion rate is 8%. All of a sudden you only need 1,600 leads to hit your 128 mark of customers every year. And then if you go, actually, they're going to start spending 65 soon, then you only need 118 clients. So that's really exciting. So we can just play around with these numbers. And now I'm like, ooh, I should go do that for myself as well. So we're learning a lot here.
So Pat's right that the higher your conversion rate, the less leads you're going to need. But what we're looking at here is maths on your existing conversion rate. That's why what the girls were talking about earlier in the episode, tracking your leads and conversions, is so important. If you track your leads, so you track every single inquiry, and then you track how many of those people turn into real clients, you will have your actual conversion rate. And while 2 to 8% is an average, many people are experiencing more like 15 to 20%. Because in the day of social media, so many of our clients are doing their own research, watching your page, that sort of thing, before they actually commit to booking. So you can't really just work on averages and industry standards. You really want to actually track your leads and your conversions so that you know exactly what your conversion rate is, how many people that inquire are actually turning into clients. Because that's what we're working out now, is how many people need to inquire in order for you to have the number of clients that becomes $100,000 or whatever your goal is. An easier conversion rate, for explanation's sake, is 10%. 10% means that 10 out of every 100 inquiries actually books. And if you narrow that down, it's 1 out of every 10 actually book in with you. That means, in reverse engineering terms, that to get one client, you need 10 inquiries. So the whole point of this exercise is to go, great, okay, so if I need 128 clients, and to get each client, I need 10 inquiries, 10 times 128 is 1,280. How do I get 1,280 inquiries? In Leonie's case, with the 2% calculation, she needs 6,000 leads or 6,000 inquiries. That sounds scarier than it needs to be. It's just inquiries. How do you get those? You go out and you give your business card. You go and you put ads on social media or just post on social media. You get word of mouth. You do events. You do all the things that Pat was talking about and all the things that we teach in Salon Success. You get your name out there. But every single goal is achievable once you know how many leads you need. It is always possible to get more leads. And if you aren't fully booked, but you know how many hours you want to be booked for. So for example, if Leonie needs 32 clients a week, say for example, that's an hour each. So she wants 32 hours worth of clients. Well, if she's only booked for 10 of them, the other 22 hours can be spent getting leads. If you have that time to commit to paying clients, you should have that time to commit to getting paying clients. So I don't care if you're handing your business card to the checkout girl at Pack and Save, to the bus driver, to going up to shopkeepers and talking to them about what you do. I don't care how you get them. Get talking to people. Get showing your work. Get engaging with people, because the more people you interact with, the more leads you get. And once you start to go like what everyone was talking about at the start, how Mel can see, oh, Instagram's working better and stuff like that. Once you've collected this kind of data for not that long, just a couple of months, you'll be able to go, okay, well, I need 10 inquiries to get one client. And I currently get an inquiry every time I post on Instagram, or every third time I post on Instagram, or I get lots of inquiries when I go and do events with this local business and stuff like that. You'll know where to go to get 10 inquiries. And every time you get 10 inquiries, statistically, you get a client. So it becomes really easy to get clients, because once you know your reverse engineered goals and your leads that you need, suddenly you know exactly how to get clients.
Leonie, what do you think about these numbers?
It's good, actually, to have an idea of how much, you know, you think, okay, if I bought in 500 business cards or whatever, I know straight away that is nowhere near going to get me to my goal income. So, and I think having an idea of where that's at, rather than just kind of mindlessly plowing ahead, it lets you know actually how close or how far away you are and what else you need to do to make that happen.
Yeah, and there's different things you can change, like more leads, but you can also try and increase your average spend, and you can do that by price raises, retail, nail art. There's a lot of variables that you can adjust to get there.
More extension services rather than overlay. Yeah. So many things. So just before we wrap up, I want to take a minute to remind you about Salon Success and how to set your prices. This course has hours of content, pre-programmed calculators, and more to help you get up to speed on literally everything you need to know to take your next step with the right foot, whether you've yet to start your training or you've been in business for years.
And so in a second, the team wraps up this episode fairly abruptly. I think they were a little overwhelmed by the maths, but actually I know they were, because I'm the one that edited 12 minutes of confusion out of the episode for you guys. They did their best when I couldn't be on here to explain my notes. They did a wonderful job, but I just want to remind you that I am linking to the actual reverse engineering lesson from our real Salon Success course in the show notes, so that you can go and see the visuals that help you understand this maths and hit these targets for yourself.
And with that done and dusted, before you disappear, like our page or follow the podcast so you don't miss the next episode.
Next week, we are doing a start of the day, like routines, things for newbies to think about when you're starting your day.
Amazing. That's perfect. But until then, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Monaco Nail Academy or following our salons. Mine is Patsit of Beauty.
Mine's Jungle Nails.
And Nail Alchemy by Leonie.
Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.